For sure. For sure. Yes.
And she had a great sense of humor. I heard a lot of funny stories from her. I was really surprised.
I've seen that. Yes.
That was touching me. Her sense of humor.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think John's here now.
Yeah.
I see him. Jagger. Hello.
Hello, John.
Hi.
And is user Beth or Keith?
Oh, Beth's there.
Beth is right there. Your iPhone. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on my iPhone, but I've got my video going. Yeah.
Sorry, had to.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have it in a different view. Now I can see everybody. So user is Keith, then I'll rename him. Yeah, because Keith's audio was just kind of going and going and going, so I didn't know who's who.
Is Keith here?
Yeah, his name's on there now.
Yeah, I put his name there, but it keeps saying connecting to audio, so I think he's having some kind of issues with his audio.
Have you had any questions lately, John, from any of the viewers that would be helpful for us to hear?
No. No, there were some emails that I had gotten, but we either already had talked about those here, or I just responded directly and it was like... Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, of course, ask about the mantra. That seems to be like a continuous thing. But I usually always direct them to that Soham Sadhana video that I did back in, I don't even know when now, but sometime either last year or the year before that, I did a Soham Sadhana video that kind of helps and explains. And because somebody did ask me, and again, we don't talk about any other people here, but evidently one of our devotees has set up a whole website, but it's like a mixture of all the different lineages and all these different mantras and all these different things. And I just let them know. I said, you know, it's selfless self, regardless. And however that expression is going for my own self, because of Maharaj kind of introducing me to my true self, my selfless self, it's only Maharaj for me. But I do understand that there are some people who are still seeking and searching, even though they're, you know, getting some tools to use. But they texted me a link to a website and it had like a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, that's not Keith. I'm so sorry. I named you Keith.
Hi, it's Renee.
Renee. I will rename you. I'm so sorry. R-E-N-E-E or R-E-N?
Yes.
E?
E-E.
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 E-E. Cool. Good, good. Uh-huh. Is that correct or no?
Yes.
Okay, good, good.
Yes.
Good, good. And welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
So just like I had gotten an email, somebody asked me, they said, why does RamakotMaharaj.net now have nothing to do with Ramakot Maharaj on the front page? And that was another thing that, you know, that's not us. Like Ramakot Maharaj USA website, RamakotMaharajUSA.org. And then this one, the Ramakot Maharaj Dakshina or Spontaneous Conviction or SpontaneousDevotion.net. Those are the only ones that, as Maharaj says, don't mind others. There are no others. So, you know, if you enjoy this, videos and you enjoy this website, that's good. And no need to comment about other people, especially if you're not enjoying it. Like, why? It's illusory world. Why bother yourself about somebody else's doing in the illusory world that they're not even a doer? They may think they're a doer, but they're not doing. So if you know yourself in a real sense, nobody's doing anything. So if you're bothered by a website, don't visit it. That would be my suggestion. Yeah. Remain with your selfless self. Because like Maharaj talks about the bhajans when he says, you know, the bhajans give a spiritual atmosphere. That is the refreshing of your memories. The selfless self intoxication. Just I, just I. So you say, remain with selfless self. Well, who's to remain with selfless self? Ultimately, it's selfless self using the body to remain with selfless self. But as there's an experience of something other, it appears to be a duality. I am remaining with selfless self. But the truth is, selfless self is using this body, basically, as an instrument only to know yourself. Just like flute. Flute can play beautiful notes, but if no air goes through, no notes are played. So this body is an instrument. Presence in this body can sense presence that it appears to be outside of this body, until then the recognition and the projection and the slowly, silently, and permanently, oh, so that I am that. The body is just like a tuning fork to keep me in touch with my selfless self.
John, could you say some more about not being the doer?
Yeah, when you know yourself in a real sense, how can this do anything? Like, the space can't actually do anything. Objects in the space, even if the space was to click with this body and know yourself and say, oh, look at all this room. Look at all these objects. Look at all these things. I'm a thing. I'm going to smash all these things, or I'm going to paint these walls. But the space actually is not doing anything. It can't. The space is still the space. Whether it's animating an object within the space or not, it's still space. It never is not space. And presence, whether it's providing the power and the energy, again, similarly, you could say the electricity is responsible for burning my hamburger in my George Foreman grill. It's providing the power. formlessly providing the power, providing the heat. It has nothing to do with how long it cooks or how well it tastes. The television is not responsible for the TV. There's nothing on TV to watch. It's providing the power. The instrument is on, and the instrument does what it does. You are another instrument that's operated through the formless presence. And you may click on the remote control and change the channels, but the actual electricity is not responsible for the TV at all. It provides power. If power is not provided, the TV doesn't go away. You could say it's dead. Oh, this TV is dead. But it just needs power. And that's why Maharaj so nicely says, look and pull the presence. Just in your mind, in a mental exercise, pull the presence out of one body. It's a dead body. So if you're ever bickering with anyone or complaining about anything or anything of this nature, you just mentally pull the presence away. Oh, I am actually talking to a dead body. Like, how silly is this? And even worse, I'm using this dead body to argue with another dead body. The presence is providing the power for both. Identified with a flow of thoughts that I'm arguing, or I'm right and you're wrong. But there's no I, no you, no it, she, he, nothing, nothing, nothing. So how can I be right and you wrong? It's like the goldfish bowl. All experience is occurring within the goldfish bowl. They may have a beautiful, wonderful life, have little goldfish babies even, but it's all contained within the bubble of illusion. You know yourself in a so-called waking state in dream. In dream, it's dreamless sleep, deep sleep. Suddenly, the sense of presence arises. A dream world is created, and spontaneously, a body is assumed that's in this dream world, and activities start occurring. So that's the waking state appearing within the deep sleep state. Now, you know this is false because you wake up in the morning. Oh, that was a nice dream, or oh, that wasn't a nice dream. I'm glad I woke up, or I wish I could have slept a little more and had more dreams. But you know, it was formless. It came formlessly. It appeared to be real. There were actions and activities going on because there was a waking state. There was a knowing of your own self that created a spontaneous dream world. And now you believe when you wake up that you're in this waking world, but it's still the waking state of the consciousness. The consciousness aware of, I am awake. But this I am awake is actually an illusion. Because if there was something that could actually sleep, and how would you get in sync? Like if consciousness was sleeping, but your body woke up, what happens? It cannot be. So there has to be something, your own selfless self, that does not experience dreaming, waking, sleeping, birth, death, any of those things. Therefore cannot take part in any of those activities except for using the dream body that it's identifying with to have the experience of dreaming, whether being awake dreaming or dream sleeping dreaming. Now, who dies? Who's born? What's being done? The space can pretend to live a long life of 90 years and then return back to space. But did the space lose anything? Did it gain anything? Nothing.
Is there destiny?
Destiny for whom? You could say the body will go through a series of activities. The body's created out of the five elements. And this consciousness, this presence, awareness is aware of yourself as something leading a life. Is that destiny? But for whom? For your dream character. Tonight you go to sleep and you're dreaming. And it may seem like that's the coolest thing too. We know, you know, that science says it's like 2-3 minute dream and it appears for hours, sometimes days. You think you're like actually doing something and you wake up, time was just a myth. And the person that was inside the dream, both your own dream body and the other dream bodies, they might have had a destiny. Even you might have had activity. Oh, I want to go to the store. And you saw yourself walking to the store, talking to different people along the way, going to the store, getting something, maybe even going home and cooking. But waking up, where was the activity? Who was the doer? Did you have a good day or a bad day? You go swimming in the dream and you wake up dry. And yet you know you were swimming. There's an impression of memory that I was swimming. But look, I'm dry. Oh, that's right. It was just a dream. That's why when you begin to say, I was not body, I am not body, I'm not going to remain the body, so who am I? You sit quietly with your own self. There's this subtle, 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 just I, just I. And this pulls you in. It erases illusion. It's the black hole for illusion. And now it's up to you to, instead of, okay, now I know myself, because I feel this subtle sense of presence. Master said, you are that. So I don't have to wonder whether I'm that. Now I just have to investigate. There's no more whether I am or whether I am not. I just have to remain. Because that's what Master said. Just, you know, why would he lie? And so many other beings that are saying, oh, yes, there's a sense of presence. And then we feel that sense of presence in the meditation. Oh. So now we remain and we refresh our memories. Oh, so that I am that. Oh, so that I am that. And that's not speaking that. That sense of presence is impressing. Oh, so that I am that. What more is there? And then even the longer you remain with that subtle, just I, just I, just I, there's a final understanding that even that is illusion. That only within this bubble of illusion can there be illusion. Illusion does not exist outside the bubble. The one to whom the illusion appears is outside the bubble. And really is never inside the bubble, though may appear to be. Like your dream character, you are laying down sleeping. An entire world is projected. Everything that occurs is within your dream. You know this. The body is laying down flat. The consciousness is dreaming. Now you believe because of identification with the body form, I am dreaming. Okay. But think still, there's an entire world. Everything going on. And yet nothing has happened. And this dreaming body has no relation to the dream at all. Like no matter how superior a dreamer you are, you cannot jump this dream body into the illusory dream world. Just as your own selfless self cannot somehow jump in. There is no jumping in. This is an appearance the same as a dream. There's no way you can be anything. And yet then you say, okay, you're everything. And you're everything only the same as in your dream. You're the plants, you're the fish, you're the dog, you're the bicyclists, you're the happy couple, you're the arguing couple, you're the trees, you're the wind, you're the sun, you're the river, and the power of the current as well, because nothing is outside yourself. When you know yourself in a real sense, this so-called waking world is exactly the same. There's nothing outside yourself. That's why Maharaj says, you are the center point of the world. And he's not talking about the local limited body identification. He's talking about you. You, the selfless self, are the center point of the universe. Without you, nothing is. That's why when you start to like really, and that's why Maharaj says, reread the books. As an understanding comes, when Nisargadatta Maharaj is talking to questioners, he's answering from the position that that is just selfless self that has a little bit of confusion about being a body. And he knows you're not a body. And so when you read it from the perspective, and even Nisargadatta Maharaj says, if you read the Gita, read it from the position of Krishna. Don't read it as like, oh, this is a very holy book. Read it from the position of Krishna. When Krishna is speaking, that is you speaking. Because there's only one. There's formless presence operating and moving all these different various bodies. Same with Jesus Christ, Buddha, all these guys. Because there's just one power. That you are. And when Maharaj says, you are the center point of the world, he is speaking about the true you. Everything that's said, if you read through ultimate truth and you read through selfless self, everything that's said is about the true you, not the you you believe you are. In the beginning, you may read the book with the belief of who you believe you are, but this belief will be erased slowly, silently, and permanently. And then you start to reread it, and it's from the position of, oh, that's what that means. Oh. So again, the main message is accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. No questions about birth and death, because birth and death are in the illusion.
But there is the one power.
There's just
the one can, power that's
Parabrahman,
everything.
There is the unmanifest, which can only be called the unmanifest when you know about manifestation through the limited body knowledge. So even one power is not to get caught up in this concept. There is, because when you say one, immediately there's another, because there's someone to identify one. If you can say one, then there's someone there and something other that's this one. Which is why the sense of existence is the birth of the conceptual duality, the same as it is in dream. I exist. Oh, right now is deep sleep. There's nothing, just nothing. Sense of existence comes. Dream world created. I'm dreaming. I'm in a dream. Then I may go back to deep sleep a little bit. Then another dream comes. Then I wake up into the waking dream world and say, I'm awake. All these states have appeared on your selfless self. And that's why no words. And it's not no words that like, oh, no words can describe this, because we can describe this. We can say presence, just I am. Although I am is a little bit concept-wise very heavy concept, because, and Maharaj says many times, it's I am without words. It's that subtle, subtle feeling, just I, this is I am. So you remain just this subtle, subtle, subtle sense of presence. And you say it's beyond words because there are no words there. There's 100,000 million words in the English language, probably not that many, but you know what I mean. There's a lot of words in the English language. So to say that it's beyond words is not saying that you can't name it. The truth is, there are no words because this subtle, subtle presence is prior to the concept of body, concept of duality, body knowledge. When did you come across words? With the body. But you are not body. Even though you appear to be body, you never were body. You are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. So this all gets unwound when you know yourself in a real sense. That's why meditation is so important. You must get in contact with that subtle, subtle, subtle just I. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, after he went to Siddharameshwar Maharaj, and Siddharameshwar Maharaj gave him the good news, Nisargadatta said, I spent every moment, every waking moment with the I am. And the I am is the subtle sense of existence, the subtle presence. And why did he do that? Because his master said, this is the reality. Everything you believe about yourself is false. All the knowledge that comes along with the body is completely useless, other than when you hear the good news that you can investigate your own self. Using this body instrument as a tuning fork to tune in your own self. And an intellectual understanding, this will do no good at all. That's why Maharaj says, on your deathbed, with this intellectual understanding, you may be able to recite the Gita backwards and forwards, or know every verse of the Bible, know all the prayers, you know, be able to do a guided meditation, even, you know, sit very nicely with Om and candles and all this kind of stuff. But if you do not know yourself in a real sense, what is the point? You're still pretending to be a body, trying to know yourself, or pretending to know yourself, posing as knowing yourself with yourself. So that's why you just sit. Oh, just sit. Sit quietly. Oh, so that I am that. And you don't even need to say that, because it just pulls in everything. And then what can possibly be interesting about this illusory existence? And yet you do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities, pay your rent or your mortgage, pay your car note. If you don't have a car note, then pay gas. Do these things. Don't just say, oh, I'm a very spiritual man. I'm going to take an entire month off to do silent meditation, or worse, a silent retreat where nobody's speaking, but your mind is going 100,000 miles a minute. What is this?
Right.
All right. It's like, we're going on a month-long silent retreat. No one will be speaking. We'll all be bowing to each other. We won't even speak at dinner. But I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, I'm not speaking. Or even worse, wow, I didn't know I could not speak so long. This is wonderful. I must be getting much more spiritual. And all this is running in your head. So, like Maharaj says, egoistic spirituality. Because as soon as you stop the silent retreat, what's the point?
Yeah.
The true silent retreat is remaining with your selfless self.
Yeah.
That black hole that just sucks in all illusion.
Yeah.
And then you go about, okay, this body's an instrument. I have a supervisor. I have a job. I have to do these things. Try to be of service when I can. When I'm in the grocery store, I don't have to keep reminding myself, oh, I'm selfless self. I'm selfless self. I'm selfless self. I just am.
Yeah.
And you just kind of sweep through. Okay, do this. Okay, over here. Another new scene over here. Another new scene over here. And life is the joy that it was meant to be, because the joy is not from outside. If your peace can be disturbed, you need to find another source of peace.
Yeah, right.
You know?
So what, hello. You. So what do you do? What do you do if you don't have a mantra? The mantra.
The mantra? Yes. I do have, which I could put in the chat. Are you having chat where you are? Because I do have a little video that has, well, actually, yeah, let me, hold on. It's Soham Sadhana is what the video is called. And it kind of explains a nice way to remain with yourself, whether you have a mantra or not. And I'm putting it in the chat, and hopefully it actually can be clicked on and works. It's also on the YouTube channel, and I believe even if you Google Soham Sadhana, it will come up.
Okay. I copied it, so.
Good.
John, I mentioned this to you before, but there's a pull, like a magnet, that's kind of pull into a deep, deep silence in this body form. And what exactly is happening at that time?
Illusion is caving in on itself, on yourself. That pull is exactly, that's your own selfless self that is seeing through the illusory existence, because you're remaining with yourself. That's why thoughts can't come here. It pulls in everything. It's just by remaining with your selfless self, everything. That's why Maharaj says, when all experience ends, there you are. It removes everything. There's no.
I went to India because I was so drawn to the silence of that I had experienced, a good bit, and Ramana for probably 18 years after he went to Theravadamalai. He stayed in silence, didn't speak for a long, long time, maybe years, in the caves and everything. So I felt, that I just wanted to be there because I had felt that that's my path, the silence. And it was good because I felt his silence, because it's the same thing. No, it's similar, but I didn't feel like I had to keep going back. I didn't feel that there was anything that I needed to do in India, except I had a pull to go to India.
Mm-hmm. As did I.
Like you did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just, kind of an affirmation, confirmation of the selfless self, I guess you'd say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a part of me when I feel that, when I get that pull, like a magnetic pull into that deep, deep silence, there's no identity. But there's some kind of uniqueness there. And I don't know whether that's still part of the illusion. But I kept thinking that this is what it's like when this body dissolves, that there's just unending silence.
Hmm.
I know you don't think that.
there's still someone experiencing this silence. And the more you remain, that silence that's so deep, I say presence, Maharaj says selfless self, there's this very just I. And this will dissolve all of these what it will be like type thing. There's all answers are here. There's yeah, there's just and see, you don't need to do this deliberately. As I'm seeing right now, it's like, oh yeah, when you really deliberately, really, really, really go.